This morning I spoke on work. This afternoon I'm speaking on rest. And I think we need to look at these two things together. Sometimes we go to church and we only hear about work. And so then we have the attitude, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to work 5 days a week, I'm going to work 6 days a week, I'm going to work 7 days a week, I'm going to work overtime. That isn't what God meant. Then we hear about rest and we say, I'm going to rest. I'm going to take time off. I'm going to skip work. I'm not going to do anything for a long time. No, that's not what God meant either. He meant for us to balance work and rest. And I purposely had us read this morning and this afternoon the same passage. So you can see that the same passage teaches both things. The same passage teaches that we are to work. The same passage teaches that we're to rest. In Genesis chapter 1 and the first few verses of chapter 2, we see God telling Adam and Eve, I want you to work. I want you to dress the garden. I want you to have dominion over the whole earth. God authorized them to work. But also we see that after God worked 6 days, God rested. So from the very beginning, we see both of these ideas, work and rest. Now, to help you see how often God talks about rest, I've prepared this handout so you can see again and again God has told people, I want you to rest. We just read the passage in Genesis chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, and we see that God rested the seventh day. I want to ask you a very silly question. Was God tired? Of course not. What did God do the first day? He said, let there be light. What if that was your duty tomorrow when you got to work? Your boss said, today all I want you to do is to say one time, let there be light. Would that be hard? What happened the second day? God divided the waters. What happened the third day? Oh, we have all the plants coming out of the ground. Now more is happening in one day. But God, who is omnipotent, he wasn't tired after the first day. He wasn't tired after the sixth day. So I want to ask you a question. Why did God rest? He didn't need to. And I want to emphasize that God rested because he was trying to teach us a lesson. God, he set the example. He wanted us to work. He worked. He wanted us to rest, so he rested. So just as this morning I said, we work because God works, this afternoon I'm saying the same thing. We rest because God rested. God didn't need to rest. You and I do. When we look at this first passage, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, what teaching do we learn from this? The very simple teaching that we learn is, we need to rest. As we keep paging through the Bible, we read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and then we come to the book of Exodus. And before the giving of the law, we have the giving of manna. Remember how God said, I'm going to have manna fall 6 days. You are to go out there and choose enough manna for one day. Now, some people thought they would be smart, and they chose enough for 2 days. Why walk out to the edge of the camp and do that every day? Just collect enough for 2 days. Well, then it grew worms and it stank. Well, then they knew, I will never do that again. I will take only enough for 1 day. But on the sixth day, God said, I want you to gather enough for 2 days, because tomorrow nothing will fall. Well, you can see that some people thought, no, I learned my lesson. I will never gather 2 days worth again. But the next day, those who had obeyed God had enough to eat. Those who had not obeyed God, they went out there and there was no manna. So why was it that six of the days of the week, if you gathered double, it would smell? One day, it would not smell. Why is it that it fell 6 days, but it didn't fall one day? I think God was trying to teach them. You live every day relying on me. Gather enough food for today. Tomorrow, I will take care of you. You and I have this attitude, no, I'm going to build a bigger barn. No, I'm going to store up more food for the future. But then we find it rots. We have to trust God for our future. And God was teaching them what he taught us in the New Testament. Give us this day our daily bread. But God was also teaching them, 6 days you work and one day you rest. Picking up that manna was not hard work. It didn't make you tired. It didn't take a long time. The whole principle was not a principle of health. No, God was teaching them, you work 6 days and then you rest. Well, then the Mosaic Law came. And we have many times in the Mosaic Law where God is teaching them to rest. First, he taught them every week there is one day to rest. They listened, and I hope they learned. And then he said, 6 years you are to plant, and 1 year you are not to plant. That was surprising. Wait, we have this land here. If we plant it every year, we can grow a harvest. And if we grow a harvest every year, we have a lot to enjoy. God said, no, the 7th year you are to let it just be fallow. Well, the children of Israel did not obey God. And we know that for all the time that they were in Canaan, they planted every year. And so finally, when it came time for the captivity, do you know why God said they would have to leave for 70 years? He said, because you didn't let the land keep its Sabbaths. For all of these years, you planted every year. And so now, I'm going to let the land rest 70 years. The time it was supposed to rest, it didn't get to rest. I will let it rest now. God was teaching them. You don't rely on your work. You rely on me. You don't rely on what grows out of the ground. You rely on me. And that's a very strong lesson for us today. Today, there are people who do everything they can not to trust in God. They do everything they can to count on themselves. But what God is trying to say to us is, no, our foundation is trust in God. When I teach the Bible, I go to different countries. And I like to hold up their currency in their country. And I say, do you know how much this is worth? And in whatever country you live, you look at your currency and you say, well, that's worth a lot. Yeah, I had to work to get that piece of paper. I hope I don't offend anybody, but I do tell people each place I go, do you know that if you leave your country and you go to Taiwan, that piece of paper has no value? You can't buy anything with it. What we find so valuable where we live, we don't have to travel very far before we find out nobody wants it. It's not worth anything. God wants us to trust in Him. He does give us money. Money is a means of exchange. But our true wealth is in God Himself. Besides the planting cycle, God set up different holidays: the Passover, the Day of Atonement, Pentecost, Trumpets, Tabernacles. All of these were days that they were to rest. Some people might say, but I've already rested one day a week. And then you want me to rest more? But what if I don't have enough to eat? What if I can't support myself? God was showing them, your work has a limit. God is your priority. Now today, every country I go to, people do not work 7 days a week. But do you know that when I was a child and living in Taiwan, people worked 7 days a week? About 20 years ago, I asked a Christian friend of mine in Taiwan, I said, if you could set up the ideal situation, how many days a month do you think your workers ought to work? He thought a minute. He said, I think the best would be to have people work all month long and take 2 days off a month. Now, today in Taiwan, people get at least 1 day off a week. Some people get more. And this is called advanced social legislation. This is called a progressive idea in society. People in Taiwan think that today we are more advanced than in the past because we have this legislation. Do you know when God established this legislation? It wasn't 20 years ago. It wasn't 200 years ago. It wasn't even 2,000 years ago. It was 3,400 years ago. For us to come along in modern times with this concept is a bit late. Do you know that God also said that the slaves were to be allowed to rest? Do you know that He said that the animals were to be allowed to rest? I have not yet heard of any country that allows slaves to rest 1 day a week, or that allows animals to rest 1 day a week. Do you see how advanced God's thinking was 3,400 years ago? Now, God wanted them to rest once a week. But that rest didn't mean, oh, just do nothing. Just do nothing. No, there was a reason for that resting. God said, I want you to worship me. Your morning and evening sacrifice that you do every day, once a week, you're to do double. In the morning, you do double the sacrifice. In the evening, you do double the sacrifice. Once a week, they were to change the showbread in the tabernacle. And they were to get together for a holy convocation. All of these activities have to do with worship. Why were they resting? They weren't resting in order to do what they wanted to do. They were resting because they wanted to worship God. And so God was trying to teach them. I'm trying to teach you. Yes, work is important. Work is good. I want you to work. But work is limited. I want you to focus on me. I want you to worship me. And so He set aside time. God set aside time, our most valuable commodity. And He said, I want you to use it to worship me. When I was a child, I read various books that were written a long time ago. And they would talk about things that happened 100, 200 years ago. And people used to say, I'm saying people used to say, that they would get up on Sunday morning and they would feel oppressed. And they would go to church and they would feel oppressed. And they would go home in the afternoon and they would feel oppressed. And they would find Sundays a bore. Well, I think they've missed the point. God wanted us in our rest to find joy. You go to work, you do your work, you're responsible. But then 1 day a week, God says, you're free from your work. You're free from that stress. You're free from that labor. And because of the curse, our work has toil. And God says, 1 day a week, you're free from that toil. And that should bring us joy, not oppression. I think those people that I read the books of years ago, I think they had missed the point of rest. They thought that rest was some form of oppression. No, rest is a time of being free from the pressure of work and a time of focusing on God in worship. Now we come to the New Testament, and we see what Jesus taught. Jesus is God. And on earth he knew that at that time already, even before, he was God. And so he taught with authority. This is what I want every person to do. This is what I want you to do. This is what I should do. And as he was leading his disciples, they were going through a field. And at that time, if you were going through someone's field, and if you didn't cut the grain, if you just kind of took a little bit of the grain and rubbed it in your fingers and ate it right then, no one called that stealing. And as the disciples were doing this, the Pharisees came along and said, "You are breaking God's law. You are harvesting grain." No, they were not harvesting grain. They were just taking some to eat it. They were just rubbing into their hands a bit. They weren't cutting it down and finding some thrashing machine and harvesting. This wasn't work. No one was tired. They just rubbed in their hands and ate it. The Pharisees had made unreasonable laws. And if you really examine all their laws, you'll find they were very extreme and I think even ridiculous. And they wanted to spend all their time focusing on their own personal laws rather than keeping God's laws. And Jesus said, "No, you are wrong. My disciples have not done anything wrong." Jesus says, "What if your ox falls into a pit? It will take a lot more work to pull him out of that pit than just to rub a little bit of grain and eat it. Will you rescue your ox?" Well, of course they would. And Jesus says, "You have your unreasonable laws, traditions of men. I will not keep them." Now, Jesus also said something that was very important. He said, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." You people need to realize why you are resting. You are resting in order to worship God. And Jesus was claiming to be God. You are resting in order to worship me. I am the key part of the Sabbath. It is not grain. It is me. It is not even you. It is me. And again, as Jesus was here on earth, he kept bringing the attention of people back to himself. The whole reason I'm here is to save you and to let you worship me. But the Pharisees were always trying to get the point of the topic off of Jesus and onto something else. But Jesus kept bringing it back to himself. Now, Jesus said something that was also very interesting. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Why do we rest? Who is benefiting from this rest? We are. And I have talked with people. They say, "No, I don't think I need to rest. I think I can work 7 days a week." And I look at them in shock. They say, "Well, you know, I'm not in bondage. I'm free." And I look at them and think, which is more bondage? To work 7 days a week or to work 6 days a week? I think the person who rests has more liberty. But they tell me, "No, resting 1 day a week is bondage." And I don't understand that. Because God said, "I want you to rest." He says, "The Sabbath was made for man." When we rest, we benefit. I'm not a physician, but I know that rest helps me. Now, as Jesus taught, he also taught that works of mercy, helping an ox get out of the pit, healing a person, driving a demon away, is perfectly all right to do at any time. Works of necessity, if something has to be done, you have to eat, you have to help someone who's in danger. These things, of course, we do anyway. But the end result of all of Jesus' teaching is we need to rest. Why did God institute a time of rest? It was for our benefit and for us to rest. Now we look at the New Testament and we also see the teaching of Paul. Paul was not a Pharisee in the sense that he did not follow all of those traditions. Originally, he had been a Pharisee, and he saw that they were empty. He saw that those laws made by men brought bondage, and he rejected all of those. He said, yes, we have freedom in observing days, each day of the week, each day of the year. I've met people who want to argue that we should worship on Saturday. They say it very clearly in their belief, in their denomination, they worship on Saturday. I think it was about 10 years ago, I attended one of these denominations. I went to their service, and of course they counted Saturday as beginning Friday evening. So I went to their service on Friday evening, and I sat there, and I just worshiped God with everybody else, but it was on Friday evening. I have no problem worshiping God on a Friday evening. And it came time for the offering, and I just sat there and waited and listened. And they said, we want to show you the Bible verses that we believe prove that we should worship on Saturday rather than Sunday. And so I sat there and read the Bible verses. And one of the Bible verses was, this is what they put up there. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And I looked at that verse, and I looked at that verse. That's a Bible verse. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And I looked at that verse. I said, it says the first day of the week. It doesn't say the seventh. And I thought it was kind of funny. They were arguing that we as Christians should worship on Saturday as our day of worship. But the verse was saying on the first day of the week. Now, why do we Christians meet on the first day of the week? One reason is that Bible verse. A major reason is what I mentioned last Sunday. Every week we celebrate the resurrection. When Jesus rose again, he changed history. He rose again by his own power. He came out of that grave and showed he had victory over everything. Because he rose again, Christians said, let's worship on Sunday. This habit did not start in the 4th century. I have heard again and again and again people say, this was started by Constantine. Before Constantine, everybody worshipped on Saturday, and now after Constantine, we worshipped on Sunday. That is false. That is totally false. In the 1st century, I just cited a Bible verse which argued that Christians in the 1st century already were meeting on Sunday. Why? Because of the resurrection. So today, if somebody says to you, let's worship on a different day of the week, I have nothing against worshiping any day of the week at any time. But why do we as a church gather on the first day of the week? Because we commemorate the resurrection when Jesus rose again. Now, why does Paul mention that there's freedom in observing days? Because he wants to emphasize the reality is not the day. The reality is Jesus. Jesus is the one who is the Lord of the day. So we honor the day, not to honor the day, we honor Jesus. And we must keep our attitude right. We are focusing on Jesus. So I put way on the right-hand side, I said, this resting points us to Christ. I watch people around me who are not Christians. When I was a child, we would witness to people around us and they would say, you know, we cannot go to church because we work 7 days a week. You don't understand our culture. Well, maybe so. If somebody works 7 days a week, it is hard to go to church. Well, then in Taiwan, they came up with a new system. 6 days of work. So people would work from Monday through Saturday evening. So we would go and witness to people and invite them to church, and they would say, we can't come to church on Sunday. Sunday is our only day of rest. You don't understand our culture. Well, then years went by, and Taiwan started having 5.5 days of work. So people would work until Saturday noon. That was about 20 years ago. And so people would still say, we only have Sunday as our only day off. We cannot come to church. Well, then the government came out with a new plan. Let's work 5 days a week. Well, that's great. Now there were 2 days off every week when people could do whatever they wanted. And so we as Christians went to witness to people and invite them to church. And someone said to me, "You don't understand our culture. We get off on Saturday and we're off on Sunday. So on Saturday we leave and go somewhere to have fun and we spend the night there. And then we come back home on Sunday afternoon to get ready for the week. So we miss your Sunday morning service. You don't understand us." Well, I hope you can hear from all those stories. I don't think the problem is in my understanding. Taiwan now has time off. They could use that time any way they wanted. But what I notice in people who are not Christians, in their time off, they make themselves more tired than when they go to work. They leave on a Saturday. They drive far away. They do all kinds of things all day. They stay up late Saturday night. They go to bed. They wake up Sunday morning. They do all kinds of things Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And then they start that long drive home. And they're caught in the jam. And they're caught in the jam. And for a few hours, they go slowly down the freeway until they finally get home. And they're tired when they get home. Monday morning, they come to work, and they're in a foul mood. And I look at that and say, that isn't restful. You're missing the point. What we as Christians do is we wake up on Sunday. We come to church. We set aside our other responsibilities. We see people that we love. We focus on God. We go home on Sunday afternoon. In our minds, we get ready for Monday. And then when we go to work on Monday morning, we're in a good mood. The non-Christian comes in cranky, upset, tired, frazzled. We begin our work rested. That is how God set things up, and I think that is wise for us to do things that way. My point today is very simple. God wants you to rest. I don't think that the key to resting is stopping everything for 3 months. I don't think that's the way that God ordained. He wants us to work and then rest, and work and then rest, and work and then rest. One of my friends, he's a friend of mine, just a few weeks ago, he met with me and he says, "Let me brag to you." And I listened. He said, "I have worked 68 days without taking a day off." I just looked at him. He's my friend, okay? He's my friend. I don't talk like this to a stranger. He's my friend. Of course, maybe that means nobody wants to be my friend if I talk like this to him. I just looked at him and said, "But didn't God say you're supposed to rest?" And all of a sudden, his smile vanished, and he looked at me, and he suddenly realized I wasn't impressed with his working 68 days straight. What I think would have been better is if he had said to me, "I have been very busy the past 7 weeks. I have been very busy working 6 days a week very hard." Because I think God wanted him to rest in between. So may I encourage you, God wants you to rest. We see in my first point, we rest because God rested. If God has done it, we should do it also. In the second point, God was just giving the manna. This was not something complex. And he said, "I'll give it 6 days, and then you rest." When God gave the law, of course, that was much more complex. He says, "You'll have a weekly day to rest. You'll have a year where you'll rest out of every seven. And then you'll have special days during the year where you'll rest." Because God was trying to teach them, work is not the answer to everything. You are not the answer to everything. Resources are limited. Time is limited. Rest in God. And God said, "I want you to spend this time worshiping me." In Isaiah, we see the principle of calling the Sabbath a delight. We're delighting in God. I can set other things aside. I'm free to put other things aside. I have this time set aside in my mind where I can focus on God. But in the New Testament, we see even fuller teaching. Jesus said, "He is the Lord of our time. He created the Sabbath for us." Paul says there is freedom in observing these days, because we are to focus on Jesus Christ. About 15 years ago, I met someone who has a different faith from Christianity. And I was talking to him, and he was bragging about his religion. And I listened politely, and he says, "Do you know what we have? In our religion, we have 9 days a year when we are free not to work." Well, I try to be respectful to other people. I try not to embarrass them. I try not to laugh at them. But I will tell you, I wanted to laugh at him. He was excited that there were 9 days a year that his religion said he didn't need to work. What I wanted to say to him, but I didn't know how to say it politely. I didn't know how to say it softly. I wanted to say to him, in my faith, we have 52 days when we don't have to do any work. What is the difference between 9 days and 52 days? I was afraid if I said it even very gently, he would feel offended. I wasn't impressed. He was excited about 9 days. We as Christians have a treasure where God says, "I want you to work. I really do. I spent this morning telling you what God has said. He wants us to work." But God also says, "No, I want you also to rest." There's a cycle. There's a rhythm. Work and rest. Work and rest. Work and rest. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you what is the ideal rhythm. I haven't investigated that. I'm not a physician. I can't tell you if you rest, your body will have this benefit. If you don't rest, your body will have this result. I cannot talk about those things. I have no authority to say that. But what I do have authority to say is God wants you to rest. He wants you to work, but he also wants you to see that there's a limitation to work. And you can set it aside and be free from it temporarily. Set your burden down. Enjoy God. Go back to your burden. Pick it up. Continue your work, and then again, set it aside, focus on God. You are free to do that. I hope this week that you go back to the sheet of paper that I've prepared. Look at the different Bible verses. Meditate on why God wants us to work. God said this, not me. But also, look at these verses about rest. See how God repeatedly tells us to rest at different times in history. Learn from that. Rest is not to focus on ourselves. Rest is for us to worship God and for us to focus on Christ and to experience joy. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you that you have given us work. We also thank you that you've given us rest. And we thank you that you have exemplified both. We thank you for what Jesus did when he was on earth, how he would work, how he would rest. We ask that you would help us this week to do both, to work for you and to rest focused on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.